And we're going to start here in verse 1 in Ephesians chapter 6. We stand for the reading of God's word this morning. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you, father, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bound or free. And you masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is any respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, standing therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I am speak boldly as I ought to speak." Starts out here in chapter 6 in Ephesians. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And children are given the commandment to obey their parents. That is their responsibility. And parents should expect their children to obey you. Amen? And so, just to kind of give you a heads up on this a little bit, the Bible will help you in that regards. And I can kind of give you a story from using Rick here as an example back when he was a young man. Now, he came in one time, I think about junior high, somewhere right in that age, maybe a little older. He came in home one day with an earring stuck in his ear. Now, I'm not too fond of having men seeing earrings, and I'm not too fond of hot tattoos and all those kind of things that seems to be quite popular these days. And so I told him, take that earring out. Now, there's no way he was going to take an earring out that he just had put in, you know, waiting for it to get set in. So I told him, you need to take it out. Of course, he didn't want to take it out. He wasn't planning on taking it out. And like I said, had no intention of taking it out. And so I said, I can't remember exact conversation, exactly how it went along exactly now, but I know he says, God said something probably about the Bible, right? And he said, well, show me from the Bible where I have to, have to take this earring out. And I took him to this verse right here in Ephesians 6:1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." He went and took the earring out. And after he took it out, I said, "Now put it back in." Right? So the verse says, "In the Lord." And doing something wrong is not in the Lord. And a child would not be expected to obey in a case like that. You know, the preacher said, it's never wrong to do what's right. Amen? Amen. And most parents in the Lord want what is right and best for their children. And by doing what is right, it will help you stay out of trouble. Therefore, it will be well with you. And it says in Ephesians 6:2, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Now, if you would, another verse kind of goes along. Let's look up Proverbs chapter 3. This goes along with what we're talking about here. And I think how good these verses are about raising children and things like that, especially for the younger people. Us older people have already made our mistakes, right? But it's good to go over the Word of God and see what it says here. It says there in Proverbs chapter 3, starting verse 1. Like I said, give everybody a moment to get there. And the thing that goes along with it here, Ephesians chapter 2, about honoring your father and your mother. He says there in verse 1, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So following God the Father, his laws and his commandments, they will lengthen your days, right? And not only will they lengthen your days, they will give you peace. And peace is talking about the quality of life that you will have because you're following what God wants you to do. I mean, what is long life if you don't have the quality to go with it, amen? And so following God will give you direction also in your life. I mean, what more could a man really ask for to have these things? And it says, honor your father and your mother. No, it's not just for children, it's for adults too. I mean, remember to call your parents, amen? Stay connected. I know we get busy in our lives, but we ought to honor them and give them respect that they need, amen? And we need to call them once in a while. I mean, sometimes we get so busy in our lives, I mean, a lot of time goes by and we'll say, oh, I haven't talked to my mother or my father. Give them a call. And you might say, well, you know, we've had some troubles in the past, things like that. Well, you know, stop looking at their faults. You know, you need to be willing to forgive, amen? And move on. And it says in Ephesians 6, 4, and it says, you fathers, promote not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, parents, especially fathers, the Bible says don't provoke them to anger. Don't provoke your children to anger. You know, parents need a balance between that nurturing and admonition. Especially, leave out the anger. Sometimes we parents, we get an awful lot of anger of our children, amen? And we got to be careful that we don't push them over the edge also. But you know, but the thing is, there's supposed to be a balance in the thing. I mean, just like a plant. I mean, it needs some nourishment, does it not? But you know what? A lot of times, especially this time of year, if you go look at my garden, you can see it hasn't got much nourishment going on. So sometimes there has to be a balance. You need to take care of it. But you can also overwater. You can take it too much to the plant, and you can kill a plant like that way too. You know, when you have children, especially like young children, and you're raising them up as they're growing up, and all of a sudden they do something wrong, guess what? They need to be disciplined. But in love, amen? Watch out for the anger. Don't do it in anger. Don't do it when you're so mad that you get carried and fly off and say something or do something you shouldn't do, amen? It should be done in love. Wait till your anger has simmered down a little bit. Take them off to the room somewhere by themselves and ask them, what did you do? Let them give them a chance to confess up for what they've done. Isn't that what God did to Adam? Give them a chance to say, hey, this is what I did. Or at least make sure they know why they're going to get their punishment. And you know what? When I'm talking about discipline, I'm not talking about abuse. You know, there is a part on their body where you can give them a little swat, okay, and a spanking, a little padded area, amen? Sometimes it's required. I don't know if anybody's raised parents, raised children, guess what? Sometimes they need that. But you know what? You let them know that they're loved. Not because you're doing anger, but you love them. And that's the reason why you do it. And once you've done it, hey, it's over, it's done, and it's forgotten. Don't let it drag on and on and on and bring it up again and again and again. It's taken care of. That's done. We're over that. And we're not going there again. Amen? Again, nourishing and admonition. That's what we need. And the Bible will help you do this. And Christians need to train their children up in the Lord. Because you know what? We're only one generation from paganism. Amen? And so, if you don't train them, guess what? The world will be more than happy to train them. There's somebody else who will definitely want to get a hold of them. And so rearing children requires us some things here. And I'm taking this from Give Us This Day by Leroy Brownlow, okay? And I thought this was really good. He says, to love them and not spoil them, to discipline them and not to domineer them, to lead them and not to master them, to protect them and not to smother them, to help them and not to hinder them, to hold them and not to possess them, to treasure them and not to hoard them. Good advice, amen? A balance. We all need balances in our lives, not to go extreme one way or another. And so when we get back to this passage that Paul's talking about and reading about, we get to here in verse 5, we talk about servants and masters. Now, I think most people probably would just kind of blank out when they see that, but put in the thing here, put employees and employers, okay? Where it says servants, say employees. I feel like, I pretty well feel like I'm a servant when I'm working for some of these companies, hey man. And then the employers. Hey, there's some good advice. Look at it this way. So let's just read it that way. Ephesians 5, 6. Employees, be obedient to them that are your employers according to the flesh and not with fear and trembling. In singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye servants as men pleasers. You know, have you ever been someplace where some guy only works when the boss shows up and around? Now, so that's what it says. So it says there, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And you employers, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And so when I look at these verses here, excuse me, I look at the first nine verses as boot camp. So that's the things you should have in your normal in your life. And we start in verse 10, this is the front line battle of a spiritual warfare that we as Christians are in, right? But we need to get some of these basic things down in our lives, in our everyday lives when we're working. Our children, our parents, and our employees, and our employers, and our spouses, right? But we got to remember that this is also a spiritual battle, amen? And so now when we get to verse 10, he's going to describe the church here as a soldier in a spiritual warfare. So pick it up in 6:10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Standing, therefore, having your loins girded with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take ye the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication to all the saints. And so when you get into the book of Ephesians, you know what? The theme of the book of Ephesians is talking about the church. And the church is talking about everybody. The church is everybody who's been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, who's trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And so he's talking about here in the book of Ephesians, when he's talking about the church, in chapter 1, he described it as the body of Christ, right? With Christ being the head. See, when you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, he came in and sealed you. His Spirit lives inside of you. And you are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? Chapter 2, he described the church as a temple of God. Because he what? His habitation is within you now, right? You don't have to go to some building someplace to find him. He's right there, living right there in your heart and in you, amen? So he's described in chapter 2 as a temple of God. In chapter 3, the church is described as a mystery. How can you explain how the creator of the universe is now living within you, amen, that you're sealed with by the Holy Spirit of God? In chapter 4, he talked about you as a church as being a new man with a new walk. You're a brand new creature, right? You have a brand new birth, amen? And then in chapter 5, he described the church as the bride of Christ, because we're going to have a relationship with him throughout eternity, amen? And now we come to chapter 6, he describes the church as a soldier in a spiritual battle. And so Christians need to realize there's a spiritual battle, and they are in it. Christians need to suit up for this battle. You will not go to war without all the armor, would you? You need to be suited. You need to be prepared. You know, you send green troops in, more than likely they're going to die. And we need to be preparing for that battle. You know, that's true with anything, sports, whatever. You need the proper equipment if you're going to play the sports. And so when he says wiles, he's talking about trickery. He's talking about deception. Satan will lie to you. He will cheat you. Is that any surprise? he will bend any rules God will allow him to bend. He doesn't play by the rules if he can get by with it, see? And many think they can handle Satan. They think they can handle sin. They think they can handle gambling and drinking and smoking and drugs. No, it'll get you in the end. If you think you can handle it, guess what? It will deceive you. The devil will find a foothold in anything you allow him to come in. You are deceived. You know, I remember a lot years ago being in a Sunday school class as a young man. And guess what? The Sunday school teacher says, listen, you know, wrapped a string around her wrist and said, look, you can pop it, right? Ah, no big deal. You do it, it's two strings. Oh, you can still pop it easy. If you keep wrapping them strings around there, eventually you can't get out. That's the way sin is. The first time, oh, it wasn't so bad. Nothing too bad happened to me. You know, I'll do it again. Oh, well, you know, so I threw up, got a little dent in my car last night, right? Well, it wasn't that bad. I still survived. Anything you can walk away from, it's good, right? But eventually, he's deceiving you. You think you got control of it? No. You don't have control of that old flesh. You better give it to Jesus, amen? You better give it to Jesus. So this is a spiritual battle we're going to be wrestling with. And many times, all we see is the flesh and blood battle, right? See, we don't realize that sometimes the things we're going through is actually a spiritual battle. I mean, why do you think he was covering things with your children before this? You know, sometimes the problem, you guess what? Sometimes, should I say all the time, there's a spiritual battle in everything. But those things, the issues you're going through with your children, those things that you're going through with your parents, those things that you're going through, those things you've got on the job situation, with your spouse. Hey, there's a spiritual element, there's a spiritual battle. And that's the reason why he's covering these things before he got into this. These are the things you better make sure you got down, because Satan will use anything he can, because he don't want to play by the rules. He don't care about that, see? And principalities could possibly be Satan's generals. Rulers, there's someone who rules. And devil can be spiritual, but it can be a false spirituality, right? The devil is a spiritual being. And a lot of things out there in the world, like I've said before, are very much sounds Christian and very much spiritual, but are they biblical and are they scriptural, right? Do they line up with this? You know, anybody can talk about they're a Christian organization, but does it line up with the Word of God? You know, it can be very spiritual also, but like I said, remember, the devil is also a spiritual being, and he delves in those realms also. So, have you ever had an evil day lately? Every one of us is going to have an evil day we're going to have to face. The evil day is coming. If you haven't had one already recently, guess what? It is coming. And now is the time to prepare by putting on the whole armor of God. You know, a lot of people, they react after things happen, right? Hey, they just react to whatever. We need to start preparing now because those things and those days in our lives are coming upon us. God has already warned us from the Word of God. Life experience has warned us there's an evil days coming. Now is the time to prepare for those battles that are heading your way. And so we've been talking about walking and following God, but in some days, the best you can do is to stand. The devil will hit you with something that will just stop you in your tracks. And God says to be prepared to stand and to hold your ground, amen. You may be tempted to turn back to your old ways, but God said to stand. Stand on the promises of God. And are you prepared? Are you ready? You know, let's check. And that's what he does. He gives you a checklist of all the armor, the things you ought to have in your life, right? And you better have every one of them. I mean, can you imagine anybody going to war and missing any one of these elements? There's seven of them that he lists here. You would know it'd be seven because that's God's number of completion, right? So if you want to be completely prepared for battle, make sure you got all seven of these things in your lives, amen? The first one he talks about, he says, your loins girded. Now that's your, right, this is area right here. That's where your strength is, right? He says, that's your core. You know what? You better have strength in that area. And he says the strength is coming from and knowing God's Word, right? That's where your strength comes. You ought to be in God's Word. That is going to give you the core. Whatever hits you else in this warfare that you're in, you're going to have this as your core strength. He says, gird them up. Gird up your loins, right? Knowing God's truth. It says the truth comes by from God's Word. It says in John 17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And that's what you want to stand on. That's what you want to have your strength from. It's truth, and especially the truth of God's Word. The breastplate, of course, is the part that covers your heart, your chest up here, right? And the breastplate, it protects that heart. Romans 13:14 says this, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. See? Put on Jesus. put on Jesus. In other words, what would Jesus do? You come up to a situation, what would Jesus do? That's going to protect your heart. That's going to protect your emotions right there. Jesus is the breastplate that we need to be put on to protect our hearts. It says this in 1 Peter 3:15. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, we have a hope because we have Jesus Christ. We know that someday we're going to have a resurrection, amen. We're not going to be, that body's not going to stay in the ground forever. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ needs to be number one. That will protect our hearts. Always put him number one. And whatever you do, what would Jesus do? Amen. And then it talks about our feet being shod, right? It says prepare the gospel means you have to have your feet ready to go. I mean, could you give the gospel a message of the salvation out of the Word of God? Are you ready to go? But first of all, do you have the message down? And you know, there's just a few verses you can get down. Romans Road is a good one. Where you'd be able to share the gospel message of the hope of salvation that you have in you. Amen. He says, get that shoes shod. Can you imagine a soldier not going without shoes, without his boots, barefooted out there and all the sticks and the bombs and the barbed wire? Would he last very long? But we have shoes. We need to prepare when we're given the order to follow those orders and to head out. Be prepared. How about the shield of faith? See, you can't help be hit with the fiery darts. And, you know, and they're going to hurt and get hit. But we need a shield of faith. You know, Satan will hit you with doubt. Are you really saved? Could you really think that? Could you really have done that? How could you not be saved? Oh, you're probably not saved. And, you know, and if you have doubts, you know what? You're not going to be very likely to talk to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, Jesus Christ, when Satan came to him, every time he says, it's written, it is written, it is written. You know what? The Word of God, it says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, the old preacher said, you know what he said? He says, never doubt in the darkness what God gave you in the light. Amen. Amen. Don't doubt in the darkness when those dark times come. This shield of faith will get you through and nothing else will get you through in times. Amen. To protect you. It says over here in the helmet of salvation. Well, you know, if you have no helmet of salvation, you know, you won't go to war. You're as good as dead already. Amen. The same is true with salvation. You're 100% sure you're saved. Are you sure? 100%. God's word says you can know you have eternal life. That's 100%. Amen. Salvation protects your mind. It's how you see the world. Once you see salvation, it changes how you see the rest of things. It keeps you from being deceived in your mind when you see what the Word of God has to say about salvation. Amen. And then, of course, the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. Jesus Christ wrote the Spirit. The Spirit wrote the Word of God. It says here in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, it goes both ways. It's sharp from both ends. You can use it for defense. You can use it for offense. You can use it to do some operations if you have to do some operations on you. Amen. See, we need a weapon of war. You know, in World War II, in Russians, when they sent the Russians over, they didn't have enough rifles for everybody. And so they gave one rifle to two men. And, you know, and they go out there and say, okay, when that guy gets killed, you pick up the rifle and go carry on. Hey, in America especially, we have all the have the weapon we need. It'd be a shame. It would be a shame for you not to have the Word of God. Amen? Isn't that right? You can go in any dime store and buy it for $10, $20. That's nothing. You can ought to have the Word of God. You know, it's so important. The Word of God is so important in our lives to help us in whatever spiritual battle we're in. I remember I worked with this guy who was in the special services, right? And special forces, right? And he was on there and they were getting ready to send him out on an expedition. And he had a new guy with him. And the new guy was putting all these rations in his stuff, right? And also he looked around the other guys and they weren't putting any rations in. They were just putting ammunition in, you know, weapons of war. And the guy said, well, hey, aren't you guys going to bring any food? He said, oh, we're just going to live off the land. And when they kill you, we'll take yours. You know? That's what the Word of God is. This is more important than your food, amen? It's more important. God will take care of you out there. You just put him first, amen, his word, and do what he tells you, his righteousness, and he'll answer all the other things you need in your life, amen. So it's more important than that. So this is a summary so far. You gird up, right? Your loins are girded up. That strength, comes from the truth. That comes from the word of God. Your breastplate, the heart is guarded by Jesus Christ. It says in Proverbs 23:7, he says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now that's something to think about just for a second. Just stop there for a second. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. What are you thinking in your heart? That's who you really are. Where do you spend your time, what you think on, amen? Feet shod. Preach the word no matter where. The feet are ready to go where God wants. The shield of faith. Faith will get you through and nothing else will get you through. The helmet of salvation. Assurance, the protection of your mind. You have the assurance that you know you're saved, amen. And I don't care what the devil doubts he may hit you with. I know I put my faith and trust in what God said, amen. The sword of the Spirit. Know your weapon. It can be used defense, offense, and even in the middle of the night, the darkest night, you have to know that weapon enough you can take it apart, put it together, blindfolded. Blindfolded. In the middle of the night, when the bad things are going. The guy in the military, you know your weapon, do you not? You better know it. Backwards and forward, you can put it together. It's there. That's the way we need the sword of the Spirit. We need to know it that well. That's why I encourage you to read it, to study it, to meditate upon it. And the seventh part, which I haven't mentioned yet, is prayer always. You know, communication is important in any battle. In a battle, you must have communication with headquarters. And in a battle, the first thing they try to do is knock out the other guy's communication. You know, if they can do that, they create confusion. They're more than likely going to win the battle if you can just knock, that's the first thing we got to do, knock out their communication. The devil wants to knock out your communication. He wants to stop your prayer list. He don't want you talking back to headquarters and getting directions from God or what you need, and where he leads you in the paths of righteousness. We need to pray always and have communication with God. But you know what? We also need to watch out. Not only do we need to watch in prayer, we need to watch out for our brothers and sisters who may have been hit by fiery darts. Leave no man behind. Isn't that the military way? That's the Christian way, amen. Don't leave him behind. And did you notice where there was no armor? There was no armor for the back. This is not a battle where you turn and run, amen. You're either moving forward or you're standing, amen? Because if you turn, he'll get you. He'll get you. And notice there's no armor for the knees. See, this battle's won by a prayer on our knees, amen? It's important, important. And he says in Ephesians 6:19, and he says, for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so Paul is praying that you pray for him. He says, yes, that's his request. Pray for me. He's in prison. He's in prison. You know, it's not always easy to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't tell you the warfare was going to be easy that you're in. And I want you to look up. Look up here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 15, 17. We'll start at 17. It says here in 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You see that? He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God for what he did on the cross of Calvary. And now because Christ lives in us, we now go out and tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, how they can be reconciled to God. It says in verse 19, to wit that man that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto, again, look what he says, unto us. He's repeated it a second time. He's given us the words of reconciliation. We have a responsibility that he's given to us. He didn't just take you to heaven. He says, I've got a job for you too, amen. Verse 20, now then we are, what, ambassadors for Christ. You realize that? Now that you have Christ living in you, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like an ambassador to any country, they represent that country. You can be a good ambassador, or you can be a bad ambassador, right? You can be a mediocre ambassador, or you can just be a good one, amen? He says, you're an ambassador for Christ, as though he did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. And here's the message, here's the gospel message right here. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God made Jesus Christ sin. He took our sins on the cross of Christ. The whole world's sin on the cross of Christ. He had no sin. He was completely perfect. He was completely righteous. But he had all the sin. God put all the world's sins upon him. Why? Because when you accept him as your Savior, he applies God's righteousness, Jesus' righteousness and holiness to your account. The righteousness of God to you. What an exchange. All my sins, and all I have to do by faith is accept that, what he did on the cross of Calvary, and he's applied his righteousness and holiness to me. Amen, amen, amen. That's the message. That's the message. We're an ambassador. That's the message we have to reconcile the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what he says in here. He says, I am an ambassador in bonds. And he says, I speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's a prayer we ought to have for all of us, that we all speak boldly as we ought to, because we are ambassadors for Christ, reconciling the things that need to be reconciled to God. And so the Apostle Paul, he closes the letter, and he says in 6:21, that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort you in your hearts. Peace be to you, brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Peace, love, with faith, and grace. That's how he ends that letter. And he says, I pray that you love and sincere. You know, that would be my prayer for us, this church. That people look at this church and say, yes, their love is sincere for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your love sincere for the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'd also pray that you'd have that hope, that you'd have that peace, you'd have that love of faith and God's grace in your life. Amen, amen. And if anybody who don't know that, be sure and talk to me later and I'll take the word of God and we can show for sure that you can have God's love and grace in your life. Amen, amen, amen.